Farm workers, students, and their supporters have won a great victory in the struggle for farm worker rights. For the past 4 years, the Florida-based Coalition of Immokalee Workers led a boycott of Taco Bell to demand improved conditions for the workers who supply the fast food giant with cheap tomatoes. Now the coalition has called for an end to the boycott and has announced that Taco Bell will meet all of the workers' demands. We're joined now by Sean Sellers, who is the national co-coordinator of the Student Farm Worker Alliance. The alliance helped organize the Taco Bell boycott on campuses and in communities across the country. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Congratulations on this victory.
Thank you very much. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I bet. Can you explain the conditions that tomato pickers work under in Florida?
Yeah, the conditions that workers face in Florida and other parts of the United States, farm workers, basically run along a continuum with, on the one hand, sweatshop conditions, ranging to the other extreme, which is modern-day slavery. Most workers are free but work in sweatshop conditions. Farm workers are excluded from the National Labor Relations Act, which is the sort of labor law of the land of the United States that was passed during the 1930s. This is what guarantees other workers basic protections, such as overtime pay for overtime work, the right to organize, things like this. Farm workers don't have any of those protections, so they've historically been a really vulnerable workforce. Farm workers in Florida have to pick, folks who pick tomatoes down here have to pick about 2 tons of tomatoes to make $50 in a day. They don't have the right to form a union. They don't receive any overtime pay. There's no benefits of any kind. And there's no guarantee that you're going to get work on a day-to-day basis. It's basically the equivalent of day labor in the sense that you go to this parking lot in Immokalee every morning and maybe you get work, maybe you don't. The U.S. Department of Labor estimates that the median annual income of farm workers in this country is $7,500, with the residents and members of Immokalee even earning less than that. The other end of the spectrum is modern-day slavery. And when we say slavery, we don't mean slave-like conditions. This isn't hyperbole, but it's actual slavery, where workers are being held against their will through threats of violence or actual violence and forced to work for very little or no pay. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers has been involved in investigating, uncovering, and prosecuting 6 cases of modern-day slavery. That's working with the FBI and the U.S. Department of Justice that's resulted in the liberation of over 1,000 captive workers. The most recent case in 2001 involved 700 workers who were being held at gunpoint in a labor camp in a community nearby Immokalee. So that's, in a nutshell, the conditions that workers face here. They're extremely brutal, some of the worst of any workers in the country.
Why did the Coalition of Immokalee Workers decide to target Taco Bell particularly?
The campaign against Taco Bell has to be understood in the context of the coalition's previous work. When the Coalition of Immokalee Workers was formed in started organizing in 93-94, their initial targets were the growers in the area, and these are the companies that the farm workers actually work for. Taco Bell doesn't own any farms, nor do they directly employ farm workers. And in fact, that was a point they brought up repeatedly during the beginning of the boycott. You know, look, we should have nothing to do with this. But the reality of the matter is that the fast food industry has become an enormous consumer of fruits and vegetables in this country. Companies like McDonald's and Yum Brands, Taco Bell's parent company, are literally reshaping the landscape of agriculture in this country. So after years of targeting the growers directly and having very little success, amidst a number of intense tactics, including a 30-day hunger strike by 6 members of the coalition, a 230-mile march through the state of Florida, and 3 general strikes where they literally shut down production in the town of Immokalee for a week, which is an incredible feat. After all of that, the growers still weren't moved. Now remember, these growers are under no legal obligation to deal with the farm workers, nor are they really susceptible to traditional public pressure campaigns. I mean, who's heard of 6L's tomatoes, right? Very few people. So around this time that the coalition was beginning to sort of hit a wall in their campaigning for the growers, they discovered an article in an industry journal called The Packer. In this article, it describes how a company in Immokalee, 6L's Tomatoes, had struck this innovative relationship with Taco Bell, and they were going to source Taco Bell's tomatoes, and that was sort of the light bulb that went off for a lot of folks down here. And the idea was, if we can't make the growers deal with us directly, we'll take it a step up on the chain.
So here's a public face you've got finally that you can do something about.
Exactly. We can attach these conditions to a logo. And that actually worked really well. Taco Bell spends hundreds of millions of dollars a year investing in that logo, investing in their brand and their public image. So they're much more susceptible to that sort of pressure than a company like Six L's or Gargiulo or Pacific, who no one's ever heard of in the first place.
Now, after 4 years, Taco Bell has now agreed to all of the demands behind the boycott. What have they agreed to do?
They've agreed to do a number of things. They agreed to do everything that we asked for, and then even things we didn't ask for. Among the most substantive parts of the agreement is they've agreed to pay one penny more per pound for the tomatoes that Taco Bell buys and see to it that this tomato gets passed on to the workers, to the farm workers. And that in and of itself is an absolutely historic, unprecedented accomplishment. Never before has there been this sort of closed loop in the agricultural system where the companies, the corporations at the very top of the chain are making a direct payment to the workers at the bottom. So the precedent there is not only for farm workers, but for every other worker that's in a large chain of a large supply chain of a multinational corporation. So there's a penny more per pound for the workers.
And how much would that translate to per day?
That translates, if every worker got a penny more per pound, that would be enough to nearly double their wages.
Wow.
Currently, for a 32-pound bucket of tomato, a worker receives 40 to 45 cents. You have to pick about 125 of those buckets to make 50 bucks in a day. So the one penny more per pound would take it up to 72, 77 cents per pound. In order to see that full change in the wages, though, it's going to be important to get other corporations in the fast food industry on board with the same program. So there's the penny more per pound. The other really significant part of this agreement is that Taco Bell and its parent company, Yum Brands, has adopted a very strict code of conduct governing human rights and labor rights violations in their supply chain. And the key piece about this code of conduct is that it goes above and beyond the minimum that's required by the law and sort of establishes an aspirational set of labor rights for farm workers in the state of Florida. And what this means is that this agreement has basically created a market incentive for growers to change their behavior. Growers that can guarantee their workers a right to organize or overtime pay will be giving preferential purchasing treatment by Yum Brands and Taco Bell. The other component of this, in addition to the penny per pound in the code of conduct, is that Yum Brands has agreed to help lobby for industry-wide change, so getting the rest of the fast food industry on board and also providing support for legislative lobbying efforts.
What do you think the role of your organization, the Student Farm Worker Alliance, in organizing the boycott?
Student Farm Worker Alliance began actually the year before the boycott started in 2000. It started with students locally here in Florida who learned of the coalition and wanted to support their work. When the boycott launched in 2001, however, Student Farm Worker Alliance went from being more of a state-level organization to basically becoming a national network of students and young people who wanted to organize around the boycott. So our role was twofold. We were basically a clearinghouse for a lot of the student and youth organizing going on. We helped provide resources and strategy support for the student campaigns. And then we also provide logistical support to the CIW in terms of organizing large actions, mobilizations, web support, whatever. In terms of our specific campaign work, though, a big component of that was what we called the Boot the Bell campaign, where students organized to kick Taco Bell off their campus. Taco Bell's target market is 18 to 24-year-olds, so it worked out beautifully that students and young people got so involved in this campaign because it was a very clear case of Taco Bell's target market rejecting them and saying, look, we're not going to buy this. We're not going to buy your products until you clean up these human rights violations. And when it was all said and done, there were 22 schools across the country that removed Taco Bell from their campus, and dozens of more active campaigns were underway the day the boycott was ended. So young people had a really big effect on this.
Why do you think young people, students, got behind the idea of the boycott?
I think there are a couple reasons. I mean, one, you have to look at when this started. I mean, the boycott began in April of 2001, which was sort of on still the upsurge of a lot of the sort of what we call the global justice movement. And there's a lot of a prevalent anti-corporate sentiment among a lot of students, especially student activists. And I think that's just sort of a part of the political landscape of folks my age. You know, I'm 23, and a lot of other folks my age, we were, you know, impacted greatly by the events in Seattle in 1999 and the IMF World Bank protests, and the sort of no logo analysis of people like Naomi Klein and others. So I think there was sort of people were very receptive to the idea of an anti-corporate campaign. But I think the other component of it is just on a very human level, when you hear about these working conditions, they're absolutely atrocious. It's nearly unimaginable that this exists and that this is tolerated by society. And the fact that the coalition, the fact that the CIW is in Florida means they're able to travel the United States a lot. So you meet farm workers, you meet people that are your peers. Most of the workers here in Immokalee are very young, you know, ranging from 15 to 25 years old. So you meet someone who is very much a part of this, and it really inspires a lot of people. So I think that played a big role in why young people got so involved too, is that this is an issue that affects young people on both sides of it, both students and the workers.
What's the next step now for the groups that came together to work on the Taco Bell campaign?
The next step is to continue the campaign with the rest of the fast food industry and to get other industry giants like McDonald's, Burger King, Subway on board with the same program or a better program. The Taco Bell boycott has always been viewed as a first step, not as a end goal. So we're going to use this sort of as a foundation to continue this work with the fast food industry. And the end goal is really to change the way agriculture is done in this country, to modernize labor relations, and to make it where it's not such a backwards, exploitative industry.
Well, I want to say again, congratulations on the victory and good wishes for the work still to come.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye now.
All right, take care.
I've been speaking with Sean Sellers. He is the national co-coordinator of the Student Farm Worker Alliance. If you'd like to find out more about that issue, you can go to their website. The Student Farm Worker Alliance website is sfalliance.org.